the music is Strength of the Titans by the amazing Kevin MacLeod, and I think it's absolutely perfect for today's podcast episode.
Ciao, everyone. Thank you so much for coming around and giving Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler a listen. I'm your host, Casey, and here you can tune into my own awesome adventures from different interesting areas around the States and other countries as well, some of these in which you'll know, and others will most likely be entirely new to you. I'll also sometimes chat about fun facts, history, culture, and bizarre mythical beings around some of these areas. This week's Random Venture of an Indie Traveler episode is all about unraveling the history behind the eternal city, Rome's ever-famous Trevi Fountain, or Fontana di Trevi, and the Pegasus, which you may be surprised to find isn't all so sparkly and sweet after all. So you may be thinking, why the Pegasus? Isn't that Greek? Okay, you got me there. Romans were heavily influenced by the Greeks, including the mythological creatures. Given that, I thought I should do as the Romans do, and it'd be perfect to use the borrowed Pegasus for the mythological creature of this episode. Whoa, I think a Pegasus just flew by. Craziest thing. So Pegasus is indeed a Greek creature, which you can definitely see in Roman art as well. Pegasus was the child of Poseidon and Medusa. Wow, pretty crazy, right? And what do you get when you combine a stony snake-headed Gorgo with the mighty god of the sea, as well as storms and horses, of course? Well, you get a flying horse, of course, duh. What else did you think would happen? Anyways, Pegasus was born right out of Medusa's neck. And this was at the exact same moment that she was beheaded by Perseus. Okay, so seriously, now this is the third episode in a row where someone lost their head. Yikes, pretty crazy. So way back when, I guess it didn't matter where the baby sprang from, or whether it was even human or animal or an adult or a baby, but it could come out of any place. Not all of these places had holes either. You do the math. So there is the Greek hero Bellerophon, who, for part of Pegasus' life, he and Athena had tamed this wild steed. And Bellerophon would use Pegasus to his liking. Because he could ride Pegasus, he really could do pretty much anything he wanted. He could do some pretty crazy things, like conquering the Chimera, along with its breath of fire, and along with the Amazons as well. So apparently, Bellerophon had been hit on by some dude's wife, and he rejected this lady, though she apparently claimed something else had happened. One day, he asked her on the ultimate ride of her life, on the Pegasus, and she couldn't resist. So Pegasus is like, yeah, we need to ditch this loser. And then Pegasus tossed her into the ocean, and later on, Pegasus had enough of Bellerophon, and he bucked him off into the ocean as well. Wow. So I guess the moral of the story is, don't get Pegasus angry, or you might end up history in the ocean. Anyways, Pegasus eventually ended up in Zeus's stables in Olympus. So this heir stallion had a lot of his papa's genes. Legend says wherever Pegasus had struck his hoof, streams of water would flow forth. That's a pretty cool power, and perfectly in line with the Trevi Fountain, which we will talk about. Pegasus had created some famous springs in Greece, one being Horse Spring, otherwise known as Hippocrene. This is very fitting, as Pegasus's name originates back to the Greek word for spring, pegai. So, that's pretty cool, right? Anyways, onwards to Fontana di Trevi, or Trevi Fountain. So, I was with my Italian host family, as I was an au pair for them for 3 months, and they sometimes vacation in Rome. So when we got to go to Rome, I was like one of the kids. So I had been to Rome in the past with my amazing mom. I had never been to Trevi Fountain, and I was absolutely ecstatic. I walked upon this fountain not expecting the intensely massive fountain that I would be laying my eyes upon. I mean, just looking at all of the details that I was able to see were absolutely incredible, and they are perfect. I mean, here we are, centuries later, and it is absolutely stunning and incredible. It looks as though not a day has passed since it was first created. So I had heard before that it was pretty big. But holy Oceanus, I had no idea until I was standing right there dead center and totally awestruck. I mean, I'm sure it was one of those moments where you were standing and your jaws actually dropped. Yeah, I'm certain that happened. I mentioned to my awesome host family that it would be really cool to see the awesome Trevi Fountain, and they were all for showing me some really awesome and different things in areas of Italy, so they were really excited to show me. We got there, and it was actually under construction. You'll see in my picture. Ugh. The luck, right? Anyways, with the construction, and though it was partially hidden, it was still a magnificent sight in all its incredible splendor. If you've listened to my other stuff, you may have pegged me as a dreamer. And yes, you're actually right. I love closing my eyes and envisioning what it was like way back when. like when it was being constructed and after the 30 plus years of it being in creation, that's really amazing. And how it must have been for the Romans once it was actually finally complete and how they were feeling. All of these things I just like to think about. So now we're going to dive into some crazy history and facts about the fountain. But don't really dive into Trevi Fountain when you're there. Unless you want the carabinieri to fine you 500 euros. I would rather throw in a few euros to the Trevi Fund than have the lottery experience. Thank you very much. Speaking of money, how much money do you think goes into the fountain each year? Take a stab at it. What do you think? 10,000, 500,000, 1 million? So none of the above, actually. Each day, give or take, they get about 3,000 euros that goes into the fountain. So that makes it over 1 million euros per year. I was trying to go for the whole Dr. Evil thing. Did you get that? Probably not. Anyways, you can see the fountain for free, which is really cool. Though you do have to be careful for pickpockets. So I absolutely suggest being aware of this and maybe having your money somewhere safe, like in your shoe, in a hidden purse under a jacket or something like that. You know, just gotta be safe, right? Fontana di Trevi has seen its share of theft, as a man had been stealing coins from it for over 3 decades. And he'd be stealing thousands and thousands of euros from this fountain. Mamma mia, that's like stealing from those in need. Seriously, dude, not cool. This money goes to Caritas, which is a charity for those that are in need in Rome. So that's really great. It goes to a wonderful cause. So earlier I was talking about just how amazing all of the detail in the fountain was. And it really, truly is. You'll know it when you actually are there in person. You see it in the picture and it is absolutely incredible. But being there in person, you know, there's just nothing like it. So looking at the fountain front and center, we have the Titan named Oceanus. You heard right. It's not Neptune. Oceanus controls the seas and oceans of the world. So Oceanus has 2 Tritons, 1 young and 1 old, representing mermen. And then you see the older and bearded Triton on your right. So he's holding a cool twisted shell and is announcing to others their passage. So think about how awesomely chillaxing and calm the sea can be when you're looking at this older version of Triton. Also on your right side, you will see the goddess of health. Her name is also Hygieia. That sounds a lot like the word we all probably know, or maybe not. That being hygiene. Hygieia must have really been a fan of snakes, as she has one sipping from the bowl or cup thing that she's holding onto. Either that, or maybe, you don't know, Oceanus' wife Tethys held a snake in her hand, and that's meant to offer as a symbol of healing. Coincidence? I don't know. Pretty crazy, right? Above Hygieia, you see a scene of these soldiers and a girl, and that is a story that we will get to later on. But the girl is leading the thirsty soldiers to a source of water. Oh, that's pretty nice of her, right? All right, so now we go on to the opposite side. We have younger Triton. Just kidding. He represents the exact opposition, and that would be how harsh and terrifying the sea's waves can be at times. The goddess here is Abundantia, the Roman goddess of abundance, who appears to be pouring water from a cornucopia type thing. Thus, Thanksgiving was born. Haha, just kidding. But Abundantia has the horn of plenty, and by plenty in this case, I think it means fortune, just not for those that steal from the fountain. In that case, it works the opposite way. And in that case, I think it'd be an abundance of time to think about your crime. Ooh, and then I rhymed. Haha. I mean, the artists were pure geniuses, as they knew how anything can be turned around when the tide changes from calm and relaxed to insanely crazy crashing waves. You gotta love it. There is something special about the whereabouts of this fountain. Oh no, my friends, it was not purely by chance. This fountain sits on the edge of the Aqua Virgo Aqueduct. And what is so cool about this is, in 19 BC, the Emperor Gaius Julius Caesar Octavianus' son-in-law, Agrippa, had built this pipeline, and it is the oldest water supply that has been running continuously since the earlier Roman Empire. It's really, really incredible. So, I mean, when you're near this fountain, if you locate any drinking fountains, you know, it's as though you're drinking the very same water source that was available to the Romans way back in the day. Pretty cool, right? Just don't drink from the fountain. Please don't do that. Yeah, not sanitary. Legend says that Marcus Agrippa, along with his soldiers, were absolutely dehydrated and needing some source of water, or they were going to be in serious trouble. Okay, so the Latin form of girl means Virgo, however you say it, a young girl, which they called a Virgo. virgin, had mercy for them and was very kind to lead them to the source where they could indulge themselves in amazingly fresh water. The girl wasn't seen again, though, as Agrippa had later gone back in search of this kind girl and he couldn't find her. This aqueduct would then be the vital source of water in central Rome for both fountains and Roman baths. The placement of the Trevi Fountain is a junction where three roads meet up. One that leads to Aqua Vergine, or Aqua Virgo, which of course is the water source used by the ancient Romans. That's really awesome if you actually think about it. And that, folks, is why that scene is depicted on the fountain. You may be wondering, who on earth built this crazy awesome superstar ginormous fountain anyways? It's an interesting story, really. So sit back and grab some popcorn, or maybe some other awesome snack that you enjoy. There was a different fountain in its place dating back to ancient Roman times. And then in the earlier 17th century, it had been decided by Pope Urban VIII that it should be renovated. Class it up a bit, I guess. Therefore, he hired Gian Lorenzo Bernini for the job. Fast forward to the 1740s, and this pope was history, and for some reason, these plans never really went through. That being said, there are still some of Bernini's touches in the final masterpiece we see today. And then you go to 1730, and Pope Clement XII held a competition to see who would finally build this fountain at Terminus Point, once and for all. And you know what happened? The winner was a Florentine, believe it or not. If you're eating your snack, now is the time to gasp and popcorn spills out of your mouth and you're like, what? Yeah, right? I know. I'm with you right there on that one. Well, the Romans are proud people and they were not very keen on this. They didn't want a Florentine building something that would be so monumental and historic in their city. But it's kind of interesting. Why would they let a Florentine in the competition in the first place if they weren't really interested in having one win in the end? And they demanded that an actual Roman should be the ultimate sculptor in the end. The Pope at this point was probably thinking, ah, whatever, I'm too old to fight about this kind of thing. Do whatever you want. And he decided to give this job to Nicola Salvi, who did an incredible job, as you can see. Though he wasn't actually able to finish the job, as he died about 21-ish years into the project. Then it was taken on by four other awesome Italian sculptors, one being Pietro Bracci, and the architect Giuseppe Panini. Pretty cool name, right? It kind of makes me want to sink my teeth into a nice, hot Italian sandwich. And voila! The masterpiece was born in 1761-ish. Which is the largest Roman fountain of them all? Fontana di Trevi is with a width of 161 feet and a height of 86, easily making it the biggest fountain in Rome. That is pretty intense. Another cool thing is the fact that it was made with travertine stone, which was also used to build something else, something you may have heard of. What do you think? I think we might need a drum roll for this one. That would be the Grand Colosseum. Yes, travertine is a type of limestone deposited by mineral springs, and it comes from Tiburtinius, or Tiber. The Tivoli city is very close to Rome, and if you wanted to check out where travertine actually comes from, then totally go and do it. So what about the water? Where does the water come from? So this is, you know, pretty much like 21 kilometers away. You can go to Saloni Springs, and that's it, folks. So Fontana di Trevi is a movie star. That's right, its scene is a fair share of airtime, and lucky for the fountain, it solely needs to sit there in its awesome splendor, not having to remember all the lines and figure out where you have to go and how you say this and that. That's just it. It stands there and it looks beautiful and amazing. And cut. Anyways, the movie Three Queens and the Fountain had this beautiful fountain, and the true legend goes, if you have your back towards the fountain and toss one coin placed in your right hand over your left shoulder, then you will return to the Eternal City, also known as Rome. If you toss two coins in the same fashion, then the fountain fairies, just kidding, but anyways, you'll be granted love. And if you toss three coins in the fountain, then you'll be granted marriage with an Italian. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. I guess maybe is that what four coins means? A baby with an Italian? I mean, it didn't go that far, but perhaps that's the case. And this is true, so you see in the movie, but also it's something that really is happening. So if you go there and you see people tossing it over their shoulder, then remember that. And, you know, toss a coin or two in, or three, whatever you feel like, and then go for it. Though, it might be good to point out that there are some coins that are worth €1 and €2. So you may want to just check it out if you're not really sure, or just chuck them in and whatever. It's nice and you're giving it to a great cause. They collect it every single night. pretty cool. I don't think the worth really matters. So this fountain has also starred in the movies like the Lizzie McGuire movie, Roman Holiday, and a Bon Jovi music video for his hit, Thank You for Loving Me. And that's a wrap. Have you been to this amazing fountain? What was your favorite part of it? I personally love everything. I mean, the history of how it all got started, the mythological aspects, the coin tossing, the details, oh, everything. So incredible. I would love to hear your thoughts. You can reach me at randomindietraveler@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram at randomindietraveler, also on YouTube, Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler, and check out more podcast episodes at Spotify, Apple Podcast, Podcast Addict, you name it, it's gonna be there. So definitely check out Random Ventures of an Indie Traveler and be sure to come back next week and tune in for another awesome adventure. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I'll catch you in the next one.